Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
The name's Dan.
Today we are finishing up with Fires of Vengeance by Evan Winter. We're done.
Mm.
We've been consumed by vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a warm up for us today, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
I need your help with something.
Ooh.
Actually.
Okay, happy to help.
So I'm normally very good at throwing things away. I don't have hoarder tendencies, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have one category of item that I accumulate,
mm-hmm.
and I cannot figure out how to not accumulate them. Water bottles.
Ooh.
I've got so many. I have too many water bottles.
Okay.
And I can't throw them away.
Okay. I get this.
Do you have anything? First of all, are water bottles accumulating in your apartment as well? Do you have other things like this?
Hold on. I'm just going to count real quick. You're talking about reusable water bottles, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Not like plastic disposable ones.
I got you. Yeah. This is a problem for me as well. I'm just now realizing because I have 7. And it's just me.
Okay.
It's just me.
I think in my apartment, there's 2 of us, and there's like at least 10.
I think. Yeah. I think first off, how are you, like, where are you acquiring yours from? Because I can tell you where mine are coming from.
I've got multiple avenues.
Okay.
Number one is like bike related things.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to count. I've got like 8.
Because there's like specific water bottles that work better for bikes.
Yeah.
Like when you go to a biking event, they always like give them away.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like, these are nice. I can't get rid of them.
Right.
And then the other main avenue that I get them, working in the water industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
At all the get togethers, people are like, wouldn't it be cool if we gave out water bottles with our branding on it? And they're also like, if we're giving these out, we should make them nice.
Oh,
and it's like, well, now I can't throw them away now because they're like kind of good.
Yeah. Yeah. This is tough.
How are you accumulating?
I'm accumulating because there's different water bottles for different purposes. And it feels, I think I just need to decide. I don't care about if my water bottle is a Dewar flask level of insulation. But there's like, you got insulated water bottles, and then you've got your bike water bottle that is, you know, lighter weight, it fits in your bottle cage. Then you've got like just like a metal canteen you can bring around that's like not insulated, so it's lighter and smaller, but it's like metal, so you can like bring it in your backpack. And then you've got the camping one that are just like plastic, but they aren't the like back. They aren't the like biking one. They're like backpacking water bottles. So they're like lightweight, ooh, but hard plastic.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got all those.
My issue is that like, I want to buy another one.
Oh no. See, I'm at the stage where I'm not accepting new applicants anymore
because I have like a bunch of the bike ones and they're fine.
Yeah.
And I have one of the nice insulated ones, and I'm not realizing this could be considered a very boring topic, but I disagree.
We'll put a skip in there.
and my like my nice one is getting old, and it leaks if it's upside down now, which is a problem. But it's like, other than that, it's fine. And it's like, am I going to get another one?
Wait, Luke, hold on. Can we get a new top for it? Is it the top that's leaking?
Because
yes. Luke, I'm trying to think about the 3 R's of reduce, reuse, recycle. Okay. And I'm thinking, can we reduce a little bit?
You know what? I think you're probably right. I think I need to investigate
a new top for it, because the bottom part, it's metal. That thing is probably fine.
Probably fine. It's just a
get a new topper
thing. Okay.
Get somebody to 3D print you a new top for it or something.
Okay. And then here's what I have, let's say, four almost identical, fairly high quality biking water bottles.
Ooh.
Can I throw them away?
Okay, Luke, I would encourage you to try something else.
Okay.
Give them to people.
Give them to people.
Pass the gift along. Don't throw them in the garbage. They're perfectly good.
Okay, but I feel like everybody has so many water bottles. Listeners, how many water bottles do you have?
Get on the Discord. I'm realizing we haven't posted on the subreddit in a while, so maybe put it on the subreddit. What's the number we're working with? What number of water bottles do we have?
Do you want me to ship you a water bottle?
Yeah, dude.
That's used.
I'll take one.
Dan's in for one. I only need to get rid of like three or four more.
Luke, okay. You bike a lot of places, right?
Yeah.
Just bring an extra water bottle with you that's like a freebie. And if you see somebody else biking, just be like, hey, free water bottle?
Well, okay, you know what's funny about this? So, as I'm sure that you know, people will steal things off your bike if you leave them.
Oh, this is perfect.
No, it's not. Because I've tried this, no one will steal my water bottles.
Oh, no.
I've tried to do this twice. I was trying to get rid of my water bottles, and I was trying to get rid of my old trashy sunglasses. And I always just left them on my bike. And people are not trying to steal those things, apparently. They will take my extremely cheap light.
Oh, they take my light every fucking time. It's so infuriating.
But they will not take the thing that I want them to take.
Damn it.
Which is, it's very frustrating.
This
actually is a good Marie Kondo strategy. If people will not take it off of your bike, it's time to throw it away.
If no one will steal it from you, it's not worth anything. I wonder, Luke, is there a way to repurpose these water bottles?
Okay.
How about a little seed starter pots? Cut them in half.
Make a little ugly pot guy.
A little ugly, really ugly pot. Or I'm coming up with nothing else. You could fill them with shampoo and have like reusable shampoo bottles.
No, that's an idea. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe these should be my like oil and vinegar dispensers.
Oh, hey, hold on. Yeah. Now you're thinking. Just don't mix them up. Right. You don't want to mix one of those up and bring them on the ride.
You don't want to. They are opaque, which is going to be tough. I have to keep it straight. But that's the move. I'll try it.
See if we can, you know.
That's how I'm dispensing salad dressing from now on.
From across the table, you're like, hey, you want a squirt?
It's foolproof. It's perfect. Yeah,
that's really good. Okay, cool. Well, hopefully that helped you a little bit, Luke.
Yep. Problem solved. Thank you for that. Okay. Let's talk book. Like I said, we've finished Fires of Vengeance. First, I want to say I didn't say this on the pod, but I was thinking a criticism of Tao, and I now owe Tao an apology.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, for your thought crime.
For my thought crime, because I was going to criticize Tao because he kept going crazy and seeing demons in the real world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to be like, okay, at this point, you know that they're not real. So just
ignore it.
When you see a demon, don't freak out.
Yeah.
Right? Act like you've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, Tao? I am sorry because this would have been terrible advice.
Yeah.
And
to be fair, he was trying to do this, right? Like he was trying to be cool about it. And then the queen was like, hey, do you see that fucking demon over there? And Tao was like, oh, sick. Okay, so it's real. It is real. Got it. Cool. Okay, thank you.
I mean, I do think that it got easier once he told everyone like his thing, right? Because like now he can ask people. Now everyone would be like, okay, it makes sense that you're seeing demons now.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Tao has permission to ask people if they see the demon too.
Yes.
Before this, he couldn't go around being like, do you see that demon in the corner?
Right. Right.
So opening up, always a good thing, it seems.
Well, yeah. As long as there's actually a demon somewhere around that other people have seen. So. Yeah.
they're there now.
Yeah, this is interesting. I'm curious, Luke. I was a little bit annoyed at how quickly everyone just decided they knew why demons were suddenly coming into the world.
Okay.
It's like they start practicing with a bunch of people in Ishago, and then a demon comes into the world, and the queen and everybody are like, hey, we got to stop practicing in Ishago because that's what's bringing the demons in. How are you deciding this? People go there all the time. You and all your friends go there all the time, queen, but I take a ragtag group of six buddies in and to have a little fun on a weekend, and you're like, no, you can't do it anymore.
Okay, this is interesting. This is a very valid point.
The gifted are going in all the time,
right? They're doing this is like, again, infrastructure, because they're using it as like a messenger system.
Correct.
So they do have that going on. Yeah. So do you have a thought as to why it's happening?
Okay. Now? So Luke,
do you not think it's related to them?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Because I think the demon was real that attacked him in the stables, right?
Okay, yeah.
And that was before he was even training anybody else to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that it feels unconnected. Because he's been doing this for so long, for it to all of a sudden be like, now the demons are coming to get you. It's like, okay, something else is going on here.
Something else, yeah.
And I... Now... Do I think that Tao is being a little baby when the queen was like, hey, you can't go to Ishago for like 3 nights? And Tao is like, what the fuck? I need this. Yeah, of course I think he's being a huge baby about it. Because it's like 3 nights, dude. Chill. You can not go through horrible torment for like a few nights and you'll be okay. Especially because I don't...
Easy for you to say, Dan.
I can't imagine he's getting that much better every night. I feel like you would plateau at a certain point.
Right. If anything, you need to take a step back, because you are plateauing, I'm sure. You need to rest the muscles,
rest the mind.
Maybe change your routine a little bit, mm-hmm. as well. Change your workout.
Totally agree. And so, like, yeah, obviously Tao's overreacting to this, and he's being a little baby that doesn't like anyone telling him what he can and can't do, but I feel like maybe check thyself first, queen, and all the shit that y'all are doing in there first, and be like, did we start doing anything differently in the last month or so? Did we start asking around, like, hey, gifted, anybody doing anything new in the demon underworld? Anybody doing anything new? Oh, Carolyn, you've been trying to date the demons? You've been trying to go on fun dates with them. Maybe we should
to Big Crown Boy down there?
Who's been using this to cheat at trivia? Hands up.
This is a good point. Yeah. Yeah. Other people are for sure. Okay. The one theory that I have.
Yeah.
That is related to Tao, because, or in their group, because they're the only ones that we really see.
Yeah.
Right. I think if we assume you're correct about the demon in the stables being real,
mm-hmm.
that happened a little bit after Tao got his dragon sword,
oh,
right?
I'm so glad you're taking us here, because this is going to build to the theory that I'm proposing this episode. So well done.
Okay.
Let's keep going.
Okay. I mean, that's the gist of it. I think taking in the dragon scale sword, and I guess dragon scale armor he's wearing as well.
Yeah.
Doing something, I guess.
Luke, here's the deal. We're already getting to the theory for the episode.
Very good.
I think demons have been real this whole time. It's just the only demons that have made it into the real world are called dragons.
I see.
Because what happens when the dragons die, Luke? We saw what happened when a dragon dies in this book. Did you know what happened?
I actually don't know what you're referring to.
Okay. So at first, one of these dragons goes down during the battle, and my first thought, which is kind of grim, is like, oh, that's a lot of scales you could turn into swords. Pretty cool. And then immediately after it dies, it turns to ash and blows away.
Mm. Ooh, true.
So I'm like, guys, these are demons, right? These are the same kinds of things. And so here's how the theory builds, because exactly, you're right. As soon as Tau gets infected with dragon poison, with dragon blood, the demons start coming into the real world. And here's the theory, Luke. I think now that Tau has like a piece of the demons inside of him, they can like latch onto him and come back through when he goes back and forth now.
Ooh, okay.
He's sort of like a gate that they can use.
So you think it's the dragon blood inside of Tau, not the swords?
Yes, I think it's that he got hit with the dragon blood, and now it's in him, and he's like a gateway now.
I like this.
Especially because how pissed he's going to be when they figure this out, and they're like, oh yeah, Tau, you're not allowed to go back ever. Otherwise, all the demons will come back.
I like it. I like Tau as the little bridge. Okay. Because he is making a connection with Demon Lord as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. Demon Lord's
a little
friendship, like,
rivalry. Friendly rivalry, I think.
A little not so friendly rivalry, you could say.
Okay, this is interesting. Okay. Man, at the beginning of this book, actually, when Tau got hurt, and the priestess was like, okay, you technically will live, but like you will be in constant pain to the point of like going insane.
Yeah.
Less of a role than I was expecting to play.
Way less of a role. Also, apparently he's still limping everywhere, but it does not seem to matter at all.
Wow. He's really good at it, Dan.
He's really good at fighting.
Intuition. He knows what they're going to do.
It's also interesting because he has not mentioned at any point that his pain goes away when he's in Ishago, but Jabari's does.
True. Yes.
So either his pain doesn't go away and it's just so much ingrained a part of him that like he keeps it with him, or he just doesn't notice.
It's just become a part of him.
Yeah.
That seems unlikely.
Yeah, I think so. But it does lead me to another question of like, hey, if these dragons you can kind of warp to your purposes, any of these other demons you could pop out and use for stuff? Like, some of them seem like they're pretty strong.
Pretty strong. Pretty spooky, too.
Pretty spooky.
They've got weird things going on. You got like eyeball monsters.
And it doesn't seem like they're all like that smart. Like, it sounds like part of the issue they have with dragons is the dragons are intelligent and will like hold you if you try and call to them, and then you're gonna like sacrifice yourself by calling the dragons. But some of these guys seem pretty dumb. Just like big scary mules. Get some big scary mules to help you with your labors.
I will say, I know that our thing is to always try the non-combat uses of things.
Mm-hmm.
The demons will be tough.
Yeah. But like, there's a lot of combat you could even rope them in for.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Get him in here. Get him in the mix.
At least one of them. Try it with like one of them or two of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm now looking at my notes, and I don't have much until our final like couple scenes. Do you have anything before we get there?
Oh, for sure. I am kind of angry at Jabari, actually.
Okay.
So he holds this like pretty serious grudge against Tau, which at first, like from that first chapter when Tau explains like what he did, I kind of forgot how fucked up Jabari's brother was.
Mm-hmm.
So then when Jabari is confronting Tau about it and is like pissed off, and Tau lays out the case for like, look, I don't feel bad about this. I didn't intend to go kill him, but I don't feel bad about it at all because your brother was a piece of shit. I'm like, yeah, he was a piece of shit. You're right, Tau.
He was, yes.
I'm like, yeah, you know what? I don't think it was really a problem what you did. And, you know, it sounds like Jabari is like a little, like it affects him a little bit in his position, but he's still like, but he was my brother. And it's like, dude. I don't know, man. I feel like Tao has done enough at this point for you to consider him like a brother to you. And Tao doesn't have all this baggage of like horrible sociopath behavior.
Right.
It just feels unfair.
It is kind of weird. Because, I mean, I agree with you. I don't know. Maybe when they were young, they did some fun stuff together, you know?
Like they played Mario Kart a few times and he let him Mario win Kart, or something.
Played some hoops in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all went downhill after, like, middle school, you know?
Sure. Sure.
But in general, I do agree with you. I have to assume the fact that Jabari is just like in constant pain at all times has to play a role.
Oh, interesting. Well, okay, because we do get this sense that like this like vengeance is a thing that can motivate people to do crazy stuff. And like we've seen it with Tao, where his pursuit of vengeance has motivated him to do some truly unhinged things. And like Jabari is sort of this alternative example of that, where he's like also seeking vengeance and is doing things that people are like, dude, stop, stay in your bed. But he's just seeming to be like animated by vengeance. So,
right.
Yeah. Do we need to be giving everyone who's injured in this way some like serious vendetta quest or something? Just to get him up and get him moving.
So are you thinking that the vendetta quest is good for him?
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
Because before he was like, I don't know. I feel like it sort of gives him a purpose that before he was like just laying in the bed in pain, and now he gets to like go to Ishago and escape the pain, and he's like walking now, and like I don't know. I would love his perspective.
I can't tell how much of him like getting up and moving is a factor of like the vengeance quest motivating him enough, or if it's like he is gradually getting better.
Yeah, I think it's the vengeance quest, because everyone's like astounded by the fact that he's getting up and moving.
Yeah, true. Rubbing him in ice cubes wasn't working, I guess.
No, they were covering him in aloe and it was not doing anything for him.
Not enough. Always vengeance.
This is gonna be a new medical everything. A medical procedure.
Right. It's actually to be clear, it's not vengeance that is the cure. It's the vengeance quest.
It's the pursuit of vengeance. Yeah.
You can never actually get the vengeance.
No.
That's key. That's critical.
Because we don't know what would happen if Tao suddenly actually achieved all the vengeance he was going for.
Well, we do, kind of.
But here's the thing. He's got one more guy now he's got to go after.
This is true.
Right?
This is true.
Now he's got to go for Kana.
Keep it going. We got to keep the vengeance quest going.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Jabari, fucking chill, dude. Your brother sucked shit.
Mm-hmm. He did. You didn't even really like him.
No.
It's lame. It's lazy to be like, yeah, but he was my brother.
Yeah, I agree. Like, would he have stepped in front of Dragonfire for this guy? I don't feel like he would have.
No.
But yet he does do that for his, like, sword brothers. So, like, come on.
Also, you guys are killing people all the time, okay?
Yeah, shut up, you fucking hypocrite.
Like, maybe if you had never killed someone. Maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm just not seeing that.
Yeah, the other thing I have until we get kind of close to the end. Tao's mom is terrible too, right?
Oh, 100%.
Like,
yeah. I kind of forgot about this from the first book.
She sucks. The worst. This might be biggest curse that Kana put on Tao. Because I think if anybody else survived, it would be better than this situation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Just, oof. It's tough.
It's a bad look. Although, she is keeping the vengeance quest going.
Right. She's keeping him motivated. She's keeping him on topic.
She's like, I know what he needs. He just needs the vengeance to keep going with this.
Yep.
Don't be focused on other things. Yeah. Yeah. But no, she is the very worst at seemingly all times.
Yeah. Truly. All right, Luke. I think we're ready to take it sort of kind of to the end. Like the last few scenes.
Okay. So they get to the capital city, right? And then I'm going to just describe the little fight scene, but I don't actually have any notes until after it. So the thing that they were going to say happens, where they need to like protect their circle yep. from the demons, right?
Yeah.
And they do successfully. There's a twist or two, but it doesn't like change a ton other than we get Nya dying.
Yeah.
Actually, side note, the general that they're attacking decides to do a kind of sneak attack.
Uh-huh.
And run out of the city and attack them.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, buddy. You have fewer people and walls.
Well, but Luke, I was thinking about this too, and my explanation in canon is that he doesn't know if he got all of the secret council.
Ooh, okay.
So he's not sure. So he's like, I don't know if I've got them all, and I don't know what their plan is. So better to like force an engagement now.
Okay.
Then, okay. Well, I I'll maybe have that. The upper hand. So yeah, I sort of yeah. Anyway.
Okay. But long story short, they do win. A big dragon battle.
Mm-hmm.
Tak comes up with some sweet nicknames for the dragons. And then we switch over to Essie's perspective. Mm-hmm. Essie being Queen Siora's sister. Older sister, allegedly.
Allegedly.
I have to say, Siora doesn't seem great from Essie's perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you say doesn't seem great, you're talking about like the bullying, right?
It seems like a lot of bullying. Yeah.
Yeah. I was struggling with this too. And I am curious, Luke, do you think it was real? Or do you think the voice that is in her head has convinced her that that is what happened?
Ooh. I think it's real.
I think it's real too. Yeah. Because there are moments where the queen is like pretty callous about the lives of other people and seems to be just interested in her own emotional satisfaction. Like mm-hmm. when, what is it? Hadith, the general.
Mm-hmm.
When Hadith is like, hey, we should wait before we finish this battle because we'll just like reduce the number of people that die. And right. The queen's like, fuck that. I want their head right now.
Right.
And so, yeah, that, I don't know. It doesn't seem great.
It doesn't seem great. I mean, I also think just like, so there's some bullying,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It is like somewhat normal bullying.
Yeah.
But like, it, okay. It's not like she, I don't know, did some singularly terrible thing, right?
Right, 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 right.
She was just like, she had a power that her sister didn't, and she was mean about it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, from our perspective, where our side is righteous, that seems bad. But it is like pretty normal for like young, I feel like a young,
yeah,
two young sisters to have this kind of thing. So like, it is not crazy.
Yes. Yes. Or even like indicative of evil necessarily, just like sort of normal fighting between siblings at right. like young siblings. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But
I don't know.
It does lead me back to this question we keep approaching though. And the question is like, who are we rooting for again? Like who?
Yeah.
Who are we rooting for here? Because I was like, maybe the twist here is that the other, like the other faction are like pretty cool. And we realize that our faction we've been following are the ones who are bad. But then we get the other, we get Queen Essie's perspective and it's like, oh, you're super racist. Oh, you're like way mega racist. Okay. So definitely not you guys. And then the like native people, the Zadine or whatever they are, like we get their perspective a little bit and they're kind of not great either. They're like doing a lot of blood killing for fun and just like horrible things all over. I don't know. Who are we rooting for here? I like Hadith is cool. I like Hadith.
Yeah. I like Hadith.
The queen, I don't think the queen is that good.
The queen, I'm not like, I'm not super pro, but I'm not like super against either.
Right.
I do think that there are a few individuals that we like. Like most of the what's the term for our little team?
Oh, IE, yeah.
Or something like that.
Amryn or Amern or something. Yeah.
Our crew, most of them are seem pretty cool. I don't know. But we've got a lot generally every like faction kind of has bad things going on.
Yeah. Oof. Oof. It's tough, Luke. It's tough.
Can I do a very small thing?
Yeah. Take us to some small.
So they conquer the city and Tao goes and meets with the queen in some like high leveled room.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some plants there. And he's like, what are these growing?
Oh, like, yeah.
And he's like, that's insane. The amount of energy to water these would be absurd. And like, I don't know.
It wouldn't
be that crazy.
It's there's
just
like
watering some plants. That's fine. It's not a big deal.
It's like, have you heard of a watering bucket or like, dude, people have to drink water up here too. What's the deal? It's not like the only reason they're bringing water up here is for plants.
Right.
You think the queen's not bathing? What do you think they're doing with the leftover bathwater? They're just going to chuck it down?
Also, have you never seen a plant that you thought was useful that didn't provide food? He calls them useless. And it's like, come on, Tao, there's plenty of things that are like not providing food that we like.
Yeah, but think of all the water they have to carry up there.
It's a lot of water.
What a waste. Yeah, that scene was pretty absurd.
Pretty absurd. But then they get to do a little cuddle move.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's all it was.
Just a cuddle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think I may have said this last time we talked this book, but I want to just say it again here for the record. So these dragons are somewhat intelligent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's make a deal. Let's stop this zero-sum game where they're gonna hold you in Ishago until you die because out of like vengeance for calling them when their baby wasn't there. Let's figure out how to communicate in a way that isn't just like, hey, maybe we've got your baby over here, you know?
Yeah.
Because this is the exact same relationship the nobles have with the lessers, okay? It's just compulsion to do what they want.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I mean, also, just like, they're kind of like nukes.
Yeah.
Where, like, no one is better off because mm-hmm. we have, like, because we can use dragons.
Well.
And so there needs to be some kind of, like, rule. I mean, I realized that, like, war crimes are not really a concept in this world.
No, because otherwise people would be going to The Hague immediately. A lot of people.
But it's just a disaster.
Yeah.
No one's winning with the dragons.
No, definitely not. So yeah, I just wanted to get that out there. Luke, I also have a new theory.
Okay.
Okay, Luke. We learned something about the call in the last, like, two pages.
The silver skin?
Hey, Luke. The call are robots, right?
Oh. Okay.
Because they made a deal to become undying with this god. So this god just turned them into robots, right?
Yes. I'm into this.
Now they've got metal skin.
I did note at the end that we had our request answered from last episode, where we wanted some weird stuff.
Yep.
And so we get silver skin, and now you're saying metal skin.
Oh yeah, undying silver skin. These folks are robots.
Okay, I love it. I would love to get some. A little, turns out this is a sci-fi book after all.
It's been sci-fi the whole time.
Okay.
They've got like little laser guns, and this is why no one could defeat them, because their tech is just so much better.
Of course, yes. No matter how much, you can team up all you want.
Doesn't matter.
The little robot guys. Mm-hmm. Do you think they have good tech, or do you think they're still working with like swords, but they're robots?
They're like Tin Man from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Oof. No, I think they probably just have swords, because otherwise you'd like steal one of their guns or something and reverse engineer it or something like that. So yeah, definitely steal swords.
Okay, I'm into that. Actually, could you? Okay, this is gonna be lame. I'm gonna ruin like the coolness. Could it just be armor? Like, have we seen metal, like, armor other than bronze?
No. Interesting point, Luke. Counterpoint, I think the robots theory is more fun. So.
I agree.
How about if they're robots instead of just, like, covered in medieval armor?
Okay. That's what it is. We're doing robots, folks.
Maybe they've got jetpacks and flamethrowers. Could be cool.
Could be cool. That's how they cross the ocean.
Yep.
You know what?
So yeah. The call are robots, and it's actually a rogue AI that they thought they were just ordering a pizza for everybody in the world, and the AI interpreted as, oh, if there's nobody left in the world, then everybody doesn't. I don't need to make any more pizza. Mm-hmm. And so
the easiest way to get everyone pizza is to make there only be one person.
Is to make there be one or no people. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway,
I love AI.
Yeah, we're excited about AI. It's happening.
Like I said, I had this note, didn't know what was going on with the silver skin. Robots for sure.
Now, Luke, the question is, what's the shape of these robots? Are these like the bad guys from Doctor Who, or are these like, is this like Tin Man? These like,
no, they've got to be human-like, because otherwise they would not be described as silver skin. They'd be described as like little Dalek boys.
This is true. You're right. That would be the first thing you say, not silver skin.
Because we know, Queen Ciora has been watching modern. That makes no sense if you haven't seen our other episodes. But I think they're humanoid.
Mm-hmm.
This answers my last note that I had, actually. Because as we've seen, we're going to probably team up with the Zadine here.
Yes, which we need to.
But if you know what? Like, we've tried this before. That's not going to work. We need more. Clearly, I had the note of what's up with the big demon boy.
Oh.
Well, another team up.
A demon team up.
Get the big demon boy with the like horns in here.
This is so smart, Luke. Because like, what does he want? Nobody's been asking what these demons actually want. What do they want?
Right.
Just ask. Don't say, hey, I want to fight you. How can I help you? Huh?
This we've got one note basically, and it's just Form partnerships with the dragons and the demons, which apparently dragons are demons. So
Think about
it. Let's do it. Also, why does the coal care so much if you're pulling power from Isihogo? It's because they don't want you teaming up with the demons.
Oh, that's the only way they could be destroyed.
Yep.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Get in here. Get in here, big boy. That's all I want.
Also, separate note, the queen's kind of flippant about their religion at times, and I can't tell how seriously she takes these like myths and legends, because at one point she and Tao are alone and she's like, he's like, what should we do? And she's like, pray. And then she's like, ha, I was just kidding. And it's like, no, wait, what? I thought that is something that you would say because you're like the religious leader of this whole nation. Anyway.
Yeah.
That was just a side note of like, why are we joking about this? Is it real? Hold on. Is it not real? Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we'd love to see a team up. But Luke, we're not going to find out. At least not right away.
Not soon, for sure. Not anytime soon. I don't think that the third book is out yet. So we'll have to come back to it eventually.
But in the meantime, Luke, we're ending the Summer of Series.
Sequels. Summer of Sequels.
Oh, yeah. Summer of Sequels. It's been a fun ride. We're starting a new book for next time.
Mm-hmm. Next week we are going to read The Steer's Woman by Rosemary Kirsten.
Mm-hmm.
One of those two. I'm excited for it. It's gonna be fun. It's an older book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that it's gonna work out better than Legend.
Oh God.
Neither
of us have read this book, so we're both going into it fresh.
I'm excited for it.
I'm excited too.
We're gonna do halves, I think, because it's somewhat short, so we're only gonna do two episodes on it. Should be fun.
Yeah. So get excited. Bring your steering wheel. All right.
That's right.
And we'll bring the hot takes.
And we'll be the dumb nerds.